Top of the morning, Dan and Amy. And Amy, you're all twisted up about Trump super PAC, America First policies. You know, it's their Trump supporters going after Nevada Senator Dean Heller with commercials, both television and radio, for his resistance to sign on to the Senate GOP's Obamacare replace.
Yeah, he's up for re-election, and his Senate seat is at stake, and we want it to remain a Republican Senate seat, don't we? So the super PAC ad attacking him has come out, and they haven't even taken a vote yet. That's why I don't think it's fair. Here, listen to the ad yourself.
Obamacare is rapidly racing towards collapse. Premiums skyrocketing. Deductibles increasing. Insurance companies pulling out and heading for the hills. But now, with strong leadership and a real chance to repeal and replace Obamacare with patient-centered care that protects American families, Senator Dean Heller is saying no. Call Senator Heller. Tell him America needs him to keep his promise. Vote yes to repeal and replace Obamacare.
I'm just upset because what Dean Heller, the senator from Nevada, wanted was the same thing that President Trump wanted. A little more heart. He was concerned about cuts to Medicaid. And that's it. So, I mean, to release this, I think one decision, a vote hasn't even been taken yet. And now we learned this morning that 9 Republican senators are against this bill. I just think it's a little cruel. And it's, you know, we don't want to eat our own.
That's politics. And here's politics. As Milton Friedman famously said, it's the art of getting the wrong people to do the right thing. And how do you get the wrong people to do the right thing? Like Dean Heller and his defense of an indefensible Medicaid program. You put pressure on them. That's how. That's what politicians respond to, generally speaking. Pressure. Pressure. So fomenting discord among Nevada voters to focus their attention on Dean Heller and get him off the dime. That's most politicians, I hate to break it to people, and I'm sorry this is the case, but it is, are human weather vanes. And if enough pressure is applied, then their focus is on their reelect, and that's the temperature they take when they make a decision. Now, there are some that are principled. There are some that aren't looking at this as a career and want to advance free market policies, or on the other side, want to advance central planning. But for the most part, they're people that are very susceptible to pressure. And I'm a proponent of applying pressure all the time, always, on everyone. But for more on this topic, the underlying substance of what's there, right? That's the way it is. You want to know what happens when you don't hold Republicans accountable within your own party? When we just say incumbents are off limits. If they're the incumbent, then they shall stay there until they are tired of being there, and no one should challenge them. That's the philosophy of the Illinois Republican Party. That's the philosophy of being a super minority, not regulating your own people. No standards of conduct. That's a problem. But for more on the underlying policy, we're pleased to be joined by Peter Ferrara, who's former Reagan advisor and now a senior fellow for entitlement and budget policy at the Heartland Institute. Our friends Joe and Diane Bass over at the Heartland Institute, heartland.org. Peter, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
So with respect to the Senate proposal in its current form, with the vote delayed past July 4th, give us the good, the bad, and the ugly from your perspective.
Well, I think the bill is a pretty good bill. And I think the Republicans are going to be able to come together on it because they know that they need to pass something. They can't just sit here and after campaigning for 7 years and promising to repeal it and replace it, when they now have the numbers to do it, they blink instead. They just can't do that. They can't go back to the midterms. And these are very high-stakes midterms because it's really the Democrat Party that's in trouble in these midterms. People are not paying enough attention to recognize or keep in mind a majority of the remaining Senate Democrats are up for re-election in next year on the ballot. 25 Democrat senators are up for re-election. That's the way the draw has come. So there's only 8 or 9 Republican seats on the ballot. There's going to be 25 Democrat incumbents. That's the majority of the remaining Democrats in the Senate.
You know what's interesting to me just on that topic? You know, the argument is being made by some Republicans privately because they don't want to show how weak-kneed they are politically. Well, you know, Obama cost the Democrats 1,000 legislative seats in both chambers because of Obamacare. And so we don't want to make the same mistake. You know, but here's what the Democrats did. They passed Obamacare even when it was unpopular, which is its entire history. And right now the GOP bill is unpopular, so they fear that they're going to do a repeat of what Obama did to his party. And it seems to me that the counter to that, or the response to that, is make the case for the bill rather than just this binary of Obamacare, Senate, GOP plan without any explanation of what where one is going and what one aims to do and why it aims to do it. They're just so cowered by the accusations of heartlessness.
Well, you took the words right out of my mouth, because what they need to do is go on the offensive on the issue intellectually. And this Medicaid issue is the most frustrating of all. The medical studies show that Medicaid is no solution for the uninsured. The medical studies show that people on Medicaid do not get any better health outcomes than people who are completely uninsured. And it's not just one study. It's repetitive. There are now dozens of studies that show this in all these different areas, different health problems, whether you have cancer or heart disease, et cetera. On Medicaid, you don't have your health outcomes are not any better than if you're uninsured. And that's because the government does not pay the doctors and hospitals enough to enable the poor on the program to have access to health care. So especially when they need specialists, when they're really sick, they need treatment, health care, consultation with specialists. And they can't find specialists who are going to take Medicaid because the government won't pay them.
Right. They don't, you know, they won't get the best health there because no doctor wants to see anybody who's on Medicaid or Medicare. I mean, it's hard. But so in this case, what are the sticking points right now? How could they come to a possible compromise on this?
Well, I think that the more conservative senators like Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, they're ready to cut a deal. They are going to try to make the bill better, but when they get some concessions, that won't blow up the whole thing. Because the big conundrum is, if you make concessions to the conservatives, you lose moderates. If you make concessions to the moderates, you lose more conservatives. And so the people like Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, they understand that they do need to pass the bill. And the important thing for Republicans to keep in mind is this is not the last health care bill that's ever going to be adopted. So they need to get the best compromise they can get now, and if they think they need more, they think they need something else, come back and try to make that change in another bill. But you can't lose the whole historic opportunity here to repeal and replace Obamacare. And the bill is a pretty good bill. The House bill and this bill reflect the arguments that I've been making as to what Republicans should do to repeal and replace Obamacare. They're block granting Medicaid back to the states. This is the important thing, because there's actually Medicaid reform in the Republican bill that will make it better for the poor. And this is the argument Republicans need to be making. And this is the word I'm trying to get out. Republicans need to be making the argument that we have a reform in this bill that will make Medicaid better for the poor than it is now. Right now, it's horrible for the poor. It's instead of providing assuring health care to the poor, Medicaid has become an institutionalized means for denying health care to the poor by not paying doctors and hospitals enough for them to be willing and available to provide the health care that the poor need when they need it.
Right, but how do you cut Medicaid without looking heartless? I mean, is there any suggestions?
No, because we have a good history of with waivers that granted states control, like in Indiana. So they adopted reforms in Indiana with using health savings accounts for everybody, giving the poor more control over their own health care. And these reforms were studied and documented to provide better access to health care than the current Medicaid program. Same thing in Rhode Island. There was a waiver that granted Rhode Island freedom. You go ahead and run your own Medicaid program for 5 years. And when that was studied after 5 years, the conclusion was this was much better for the poor than standard old-fashioned Medicaid run by the federal government.
It seems like this is a great jujitsu opportunity for Republicans. In point of fact, Medicaid in its current form is heartless. That's what's heartless based on the outcomes for those that are most vulnerable. And also the federal government spend on the able-bodied versus the populations that Medicaid was originally conceived to serve, disabled persons and indigent children and pregnant women who are being underserved because we're running systems at the state level like we do in Illinois that we can't finance, and so fewer hospitals and doctors accept Medicaid patients. That's heartlessness. Central planning is what has made Medicaid heartless, and we're trying to remedy that by focusing on the populations Medicaid was originally intended to serve. Oh, by the way, we also means test subsidies, so we're disproportionately helping those on the lower end of the socioeconomic scale, and you know, forcing the able-bodied to, you know, take care of themselves, as we all say philosophically, people who can take care of themselves should.
Yes, and under the reforms in the Republican bill, even CBO recognizes that ultimately it's going to reduce the premiums, and that's the way you the people that you're trying to help with, by adding to Medicaid, the better approach is to reduce the premiums on the available health insurance out there by repealing the regulation that's causing the premium cost to soar. So CBO's own score says that after a few years, the premiums will decline by 30% under this Senate bill. And that's the way to get these. Historically, Medicaid has been a program for very poor people, sick retirees, disabled people, children, and poor families. But what Obamacare did is extend this to non-poor adults.
Right.
So adults that were above the poverty.
Right.
Market. And so now it covers, this is a safety net program, it covers 75 million Americans. And what? If it's not changed, it's going to end up covering 100 million Americans.
What is the most troubling aspect of either the House or the Senate, what the House passed or what the Senate has proposed, in terms of, as you mentioned before, this is not the last health care bill we're going to pass, what we're going to have to revisit because of the externalities it's likely to throw off? What provision?
Well, I think that we want to make sure we root out all the regulations. And so that's proving difficult because there's an issue here whether you can put that on a reconciliation bill. And there are good arguments to be made, and there are good approaches to be made to do it through reconciliation. But that's causing them to back off a bit. So to the extent that they don't get all the regulations out right now, look, you can come back and get the regulations out in another bill, especially if you have a good case that this or that regulation is causing trouble, is raising costs. People will be willing, the Congress will go along with that kind of change. So this is not the last change to be made. You don't want to hold out when you have so much at stake. So pass the bill, repeal the damn thing, get it off the table. And if there's more that needs to be done, then just come back and do it again. We still will have the Republican majorities in both houses of Congress.
All right. He is Peter Ferrara, former advisor to President Reagan, now senior fellow for entitlement and budget policy at the Heartland Institute, heartland.org. Peter, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me on the show.
And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
If you're talking about it,